Thank you. God bless you, my sister. It's eternal power. And then the Godhead. The God, the Word, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So looking at creation, you can see, I say like a mirror that clearly displays God. But so many times you look at this and you don't see anything. Do you know why? I'll tell us the reason. So many times you look at creation, beyond the creation you are seeing God. You are seeing God. But today that's not the case. Then now God now made man. This one, my proper image. And then God now put him on the earth. But you look at man today, there we are not seeing anything. Praise the Lord. The Bible calls it darkness. Darkness. So of everything, I will explain that. Of everything that God created, like I said, man is his ultimate expression. So what God really wants now is that everything who he is. So if God should stand here and live there and I will come and stand there, you look at it, there is no difference. That's the purpose of man. Who displays authority in the natural? God is a spirit, but he created the natural world. And then created man that can relate with two worlds. He can relate with the spirit and he can relate with the physical. That's why man has two bodies. He has his natural body, he has his spiritual body. Praise the Lord. He has his physical body, then he has his spiritual body. He has a physical body to relate with the earth. And then he has his spiritual body to relate with God in heaven. And then relate with heavenly things. So that through man, the creation will visibly see God's rule, God's domain, God's authority, God's wisdom, you know, God's power will be a direct expression of who God is. And that's the calling for your life today. And that's what Jesus came to restore. Praise the Lord. Yes. Well, that's what Jesus came to fully restore in your life and in my life. It's a glorious and a beautiful thing. This man, there's this quote by St. Augustine. He said, men go abroad to wander the heights of mountain. He said, at the long courses of river, you know, at the vast compass of the ocean, at the huge wave of the sea, and at the circular motions of the stars. He said, yet they pass by themselves and they don't even notice. Because the greatest wonder in creation is actually man. I take that quote again. He said, men go abroad to wander at the heights of mountain, at the huge waves of the sea, at the long courses of river, at the vast compass of the ocean, at the circular motions of the star, and they pass by themselves and they don't even notice. That's St. Augustine. And that is the pure basic about life. See, Satan's ultimate goal, let me tell you. Satan's ultimate goal is not the things that we just parade and fly about. Satan's ultimate goal is to disconnect man from God. Is to just sever the connection. That's what we call darkness. It's also to disconnect God from reality. People look at the story of creation. What is even science? I'll tell you the origin of science before I say what I wanted to say now. Science, what we call science. What is science? What is the basic definition of science? This is science, intellectual and practical activities involving the systematic study of the structure and behavior of the physical and natural world through observation and experiment. So science is the systematic study of the structure and behavior of the natural world. Praise the Lord. So let me show you let me trace back the root of science to Genesis chapter 2. It's in the story of creation. When God created Adam, he created the man, created every other thing, he brought them to Adam to name them. After Adam named everything, of course, you know the story, was not satisfied with everything. Then God made a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. Then when he slept and he woke up, between his sleep, God made Eve. When God made Eve, then after God made Eve, in Genesis 2:19, he said God brought the woman to Genesis 2:22, God brought the woman to what he would call him. So when the woman stood, Adam looked at the woman and then his eyes pierced the oracle of light. He said, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called the woman because she was taken out of me. Who told him? Who told him? Unthought. Uneducated. He's too what we call science now. Somebody discover something here. Isn't that what we call science? You discover. He discovered this. Abby? He discovered this, you know. He stood and he looked at her. He was sleeping, right? And then God brought the woman. The woman was not a stranger to him. He knew what had happened. That's what we call science. So it's a systematic body of knowledge. That's what we call science. Praise the Lord. So I say what? Science does not study spirits. Remember, I say it's the natural world. Science does not study spirit. And I say man has a physical body, and he has his spiritual body. So what we call science is limited to our physical body, our natural body. Praise the Lord. So when he looked at the woman, he knew what had happened in the natural. That's what we call science. So man is higher than science because man is divinity. Then what is the root of science? If you now train, you now go one step backward. The root of science is Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image. That nature that Adam had, that nature, that personality of Adam, amen, is an embodiment of what we call science. To understand and govern the natural world. Of what relevance will it be that God created the physical world, the complex world, though it's structural, it's systematic and structural, complex, or created it for man to dominate, to govern and to rule, and the man does not understand that world. So in the nature that man had is the understanding of nature and creation. Praise the Lord. So in the nature that he was given, God gave him, he was going to have dominion, he was going to govern that world. So the understanding of that world was embedded inside of him. As this happened, he will say, this is it. As this happened, this is it. He's able to understand it. No wonder, though, because of the fall, it took us so long, Thomas Edison, that was in 1879, he made the light bulb. Right? He looked at the sun, I know it's so round, whitish like this, and he stood up and he made the light bulb. Praise the Lord. Because that thing is embodied inside of man. There's so much for us to still do and to discover. That's science. And I'll talk about that, the spirit. So that's why you cannot see, but what devil has done now. So that when we see scientific discovery, so science is another window. It's divine. It's ordained by God. It's another window for us to see God's glory. But today some people will go into science and they say there is no God. Why? What is this explanation again? The same thing, what we call darkness. When you read in Genesis 1, 2, it's not a small thing. See, that what we call darkness, those are spirits. Those things are spirits. Spirits blinds the mind and blinds the hearts of people. And that blindness will come, what? What is that blindness? That blindness will come to disconnect God from the realm of life. Okay, look at Ephesians 6. Okay, verse 12. He mentioned people. He said the darkness that is in this world. What we call darkness? What we call darkness is to shut down the mind. Darkness. He said the ruler, the darkness in this world is being governed and being ruled. If you go to somewhere in Colossians 1:13, he said God has delivered us from the power, from the grip of darkness. Darkness. Praise the Lord. So look at the order of life that God initiated in the beginning. This is what we call darkness. He now come and turn it the other way around. He now come and turn what we call darkness, shuts down the mind, you know, the perception. He now turns it the other way around. It's what we call blindness, you know. Now I was blind, but now I see, you know. And what we call darkness is not, you are still normal. You are still like this. Like what happened to the army of Syria. What fell upon their mind, those armies, darkness. Let me use to illustrate the point. And I'll go back to my message. The army of Syria, is it first or second King 6 now? When Elisha, they told him that there is a man called Elisha. Anything you think in your bedroom is the one that will tell the king. So the king now sent the armies to go and arrest Elisha. So when they got to that mountain, you know the story, Elisha told Gehazi that God should open their eyes, and he saw sharers of fire around about Elisha. And Elisha prayed one prayer that God strike them with blindness. This is what happened in the garden. That's what I want to explain. He said God should strike them with blindness. And then when he prayed, then they say God struck them with blindness. I say, oh, the person you are looking for is not here. Come, I'll take you to where he is. He now took them to the palace of the king. And now to ask you, when you read that Bible, you think they were physically blind. They still retain their full consciousness, but their understanding was torn. How can you lead 10 blind men from here to the market? These were soldiers on their horses, and Elijah led them to the palace. They had their physical eyes, they were seeing. That's not blindness. Praise the Lord. You know, that's not blindness. They had their physical eye. They were conscious. It was leading them. This is not the rule. Let's pass here. All of them, they said they were multitude. A host. They were riding horses. You think their eyes were closed? He won't be able to lead them. Even one man on a horse, a blind man on a horse, can you lead him? Even if he's not on a horse, he's tracking 10 men. Now come, follow me. But when will you leave here and get to the market? He led the whole army on a horse. You know, they were still conscious. They were seeing everything. Amen. They were reading the signpost, Aso Rock. The White House. They know the White House is where the king stays. Aso Rock is where is our seat of power. They see Aso Rock. They read it. It's just like the madman on the street. Does he know that he's blind? So the man was still fully alive in the what happened in the garden. This is what he called blindness. When you are cut off from the reality that is called God. When man cannot lift up their heart and say, Abba Father, all things are possible to you.
Lord, I worship you. A human being made by God cannot lift up the heart and worship the one that made him. That is what we call blindness. Ephesians 4:18. What is darkened? What is darkened? He said the understanding is darkened. Alright. That's the blindness. That's what happened in the garden. The man was still standing and everything left him. If you go back to Genesis 3, you know what happened there. That was what happened in Genesis 3. The Bible said their eyes were open. Yes. That means their eyes were closed. So that means they left a reality to another reality. They left a realm of life to another realm of life. And that's where we are today, outside of redemption. Praise the Lord. So this is what is called darkness. I say that's what is responsible for us not to see some of these beautiful, wonderful things that God is doing. And so many of you, okay, I was saying something about another classical illustration of he's a madman on the street. He's still normal, he eats food. He does a lot of things like every other person does. He talks, amen. He does everything. You know. But he will remove his clothes and everything, and you look at you are the one that is mad. That was what happened in the garden. That's why God allowed madmen to roam the streets. So that it will remind us of what happened in Genesis 3. It's like removing a life and taking on another life. Praise the Lord. So that is to what extent? Now I want to ask you. These are not ancient story or life story. I'm telling you. To what extent has your understanding been turned? That's why somebody will look at another man and say, "That's the man I want to marry." That is what we call darkness. Those ones is not binding and casting. That one, you handle that one by walking the spirit, authority. A realm of authority in the spirit. That's why even contending, some of you are still young, you still marry, you still give birth to children. Some young people seated the way you seated, they married and some of their children came and they said they want to marry another lady. The lady said, "I want to marry a lady." We need authority, we need power in this age. And everything is traced back to what I have been telling you about the image. That's what he said, you are my workmanship. And what did I say? Yeah, God is pouring his life. He's simply pouring his life within. Praise the Lord. Okay, I'll get back to something. Now let me tell you. Then two about Adam. I'll tell you about sin. Who taught him how to get Eve pregnant? He got Eve pregnant and got him delivered of a male child. And many children. Is that not what you do in science? In medicine? Abby? Is that not part of what you do in medicine? How to do your operation, how to deliver a baby. Me, I can't deliver a baby. But Adam stood there. He delivered those people. Because science is in our is embedded, an embodiment of science. That's why we should be discovering something. That's why Christians should go into science. We are doing our science. Why would I add the spiritual realm? I say science does not study spirit, right? You now are speaking in tongues. You are speaking in tongues and scientists are in the lab. Speaking in tongues. You see, discovery will start coming out. Yes, now because that is God's ordination from the beginning. That we will pierce the realm of light and no things that have happened. If God stands here, if God comes and stands here and do something, when I come back, you will know exactly what he has done. Praise the Lord. So this is it. I've shown us that the physical world is a symphony of perfection, and it carries the signature, of God's genius. The human body bears the signature of God's genius in nature, right? And I also say that the entire nature is a symphony of perfection, God's perfection. Before things now begin to fall apart, then now I want to say something now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, if I tell you now that I'm talking now, or maybe. If I say that, or maybe somehow you know that God is standing there, would anybody visit there again? That physically, they say God is appeared physically and God is standing there. Will anybody visit there down here? Praise the Lord. You know, so you can imagine it. But when he came to earth, the Bible says he stood before his own did not recognize him. Praise the Lord. You can see what that darkness has done. You see, the human eyes is always looking for wonder. That's why we are running to Venezuela to behold the highest waterfall in Venezuela, the Angel Fall. You see people running to Nile to behold the longest river now. The largest sea, the Pacific Ocean. People running everywhere to behold wonders. They want to look at solar eclipse. You see, men want to study planetary bodies. Well, I've just discovered a new star. Bigger than the earth and bigger, and 20 times or 1 million times bigger than the sun. The human eyes and heart is always hunger and quest to see something. But when the one that made the heaven and earth, when he came down to earth, men saw him and they did not recognize him. That is the highest wonder that the earth has seen. That is the highest wonder in the realm of life, both in the heavens and in the earth. Jesus stood and he was talking. You know, some walk past, some even want to stone him, some even slapped him. Praise the Lord. Jesus was here standing. Imagine when one angel, they say an angel is standing at your back here. But Jesus, they say the maker of heaven and earth, the creator of the whole world, he stood physically. Stood physically. He lives and dwells amongst us here. Yeah, people will pass by him and then go to wander at the heights of mountain, at the huge wave of the sea, at the circular motion of the star, at the vast compass of the ocean, and they will pass by him and without wondering. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So this is what is responsible. Then, when Jesus was going to die, I'll say this as a way of rounding up. When Jesus wanted to die, you know, I told you that what you call darkness, you see, there are people, there are spirits. Jesus died. Jesus was hung on the cross, and he died 12 in the afternoon. When Jesus died, 12 in the afternoon, the Bible said in can you call up Luke chapter 23 verse 44? You say when Jesus died, when he was on the cross, when he was about to die, the Bible said there was darkness. It was about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. These were spirits. The one that came in the garden and switched on the light that was inside man. You know, God said, let there be light. Then when he created man, he packaged the light and put it inside of man. So man now became the light of the world. Now we'll talk about the realm of life, not just the sun. Forget it. You know, that sun is different. So when God created, let there be light, God created the physical light you can see. Then he put another light in man, which also lighting the whole creation that he has created. So Satan came in Genesis chapter 3 and then switched off the light, and men fall into darkness. He said, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. So everything you can see, from murder, from lies, all of them come under the banner of what we call darkness. Somebody was responsible for it. Jesus called him the Prince of Darkness. He's the Prince, he's the Governor, he's the Lord of Darkness. So in Genesis 3, he came and he switched on the light in man. Then that light was not seen again. There were tokens of light. You say John the Baptist was a shining light and all of this. Then, but there was not the light. Then when Jesus came, the light came. As long as I'm in the world, I am what? I am the light of the world. Then for the sake of redemption, when he wanted to take on the sin of man, he needed to take on the nature of sin. Your sin and my sin. So when he took on that sin, then that same man came, and I have legal right to take his life. You see, when Jesus wanted to die, there was darkness came over on the light of the sister. That's 12 noon in the afternoon. They shut down the light of the sun. They shut down the light of the sun from 12 noon to 3 p.m. The whole place was dark. And then he took the light out of Jesus. And when they took that life and they were drinking champagne, right? After 3 days, Jesus met them. The cup was still in their hand, and he kicked it out of their hand. You are not celebrating, you are not clapping. He took the champagne out of their hand. He said, give me the keys that you took from Adam. Give me the keys. And he took the key and he ushered in the new life. You see, there was darkness. Satan was there. All his hosts of darkness, they came, they were physically there. And then he took the life of the Son of Man. That's what that darkness does. He said, the thieves come to steal, to kill. What does he steal? Is this life? He stole the life of God in man. And Jesus came and restored that life back. It's a life of victory. It's a life of power. It's a life of dominion. It's a life of faith. It's a resilient life. It's an enduring life. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. It's a life that will never give up. It will never give up. No surrender. Abby? I will not retreat, no surrender. I will go, I will keep going. If I cannot run, I will crawl. If I cannot crawl, I will roll on the floor. If I cannot roll on the floor, then another will come and carry me. That is the life that we have in Christ. Please, can you put your hand and celebrate Emmanuel? Praise the Lord. Can you see that? I want to give you some minute to speak in tongues. Just speak in tongues. You can speak in tongues, You can pray. You can take a song, a worship. Just do it. Make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It's a sing, shout. Hey!
I'm lazy. I have understanding. I can see. Jesus is King. Oh, my God. I thank you, my God.
For him. When men were willing to die for him, I remember John Hus. They put him on the stake. Why they put him on the stake? He was singing him. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I remember William Peter. He translated the Bible into English. That was his offense. Translating the Bible into English. They tied him to the stake and they burnt him alive. This man died rejoicing. This man died singing. I'm talking about Jesus. Jesus. I'm not talking about wealth. I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about health. Health. This guy won't be. I'm talking about Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I'm talking about Jesus. The apostle Paul said, I have no greater desire than to be with you, my Savior. I have a desire to depart. I have a desire to live this life. Jesus. A creature. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can you sit down? Can you sit down? You need to hear this. Yes. What is sin? One thing, only one thing equates sin. Adultery fall under the umbrella, but it does not equate sin. Stealing, corruption, does not equate sin. I'll show you the proper sin. And that's what the prince of darkness is after. I'll show you the proper sin. 1 John 3:4.
Then he now went further to define sin. What is sin? Yes, he says sin is a transgression. I'm not translation. Say sin is lawlessness. Bible in Basic English put it this way. He says sin is going against the law. That means going against the word of the Lord. Did I say? He says sin is going against God's word. What did Adam steal in the garden? What did he steal? What did he steal? You know, he says sin is going contrary to the word of God. Okay, let's look at some other basic scripture that defines sin. So, you know, I just told you about darkness, what they're after. So, they use small thing to distract you. Use some small tributary to distract you from the main river, water of what they are doing. Look at Romans 5:13. For until now, I'll read a couple of scriptures before. Until now, sin was in the world. He said, but sin is not imputed, it's not recorded where there is no law. Where there is no, he says, sin is not recorded, it's not imputed. It's not taking account of when there is no law. That word law, when there is no word, when the word of the Lord is not there. Now, go to Romans 4:15, the first with me. He said, because the law works wrath, anger. He said, for where no law is, there is no sin. Where there is no law, where there is no word, there is no sin. Okay. Then Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. He said, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Okay. Then look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6, chapter 15, verse 56. He said, the sting of death is sin. Have you seen the sting of a bee without a bee? Anytime you see the sting of a bee, that means the bee is present. Anytime you see sin, that means there's a higher personality that is present. That person is called death. So when there was a, it was not a sin in the garden, somebody else was present. Right? Yes. He said, the death. The sting of death is sin. So anytime you see sin, no matter the little token, then there is a bigger presence that is there. That's the prince of darkness. So the sting of death is sin. So that's why I say you cannot have the sting of a bee without a bee. The bee, the larger body, is what we call death. It's what we call death. Those ones I showed you that came when Jesus was dying and there was darkness and he shut down the light of the sun. Even the natural, what they mean by shutting down the light of the sun, even the natural order of life, you are going to change it. That's their message. The natural order, a man who married a woman, right? A man who, there is compassion for a newborn baby. They change the natural, even that outside of redemption, even that which is natural, they were going to change. And that's why they shut down the light of the sun for 3 hours. The sun is a symbol of life in the natural. They shut it down. That's why today you can see people call themselves one group, one terrorist group. They will kill babies, kill mother. Even the natural affection in man has been taken away. So what is now left now? Man is now a beast. That's what he's saying. So these things are spiritual. So I'm just trying to avoid some explaining some things. So that's why he said they shut down the sun for 3 hours. Even the natural order of life is going to change. So you can see, all this one you are seeing, man is marrying man, is even a lower walk. As we continue, we see deeper ones. When 100 years ago, such things were not being said. Praise the Lord. So he said, man now wants to marry man. Some nations are signing it into law. That's that man there. Call him dead. So, what are they doing? Just to go contra. He said, God, he said, the default setting of man is righteousness. So what darkness are they do and death, darkness and death, what they do is to turn the default setting of man into rebellion. Thou shalt not commit adultery. They make sure you do it. But what is happening is what they are going contrary to God's revealed will and counsel and purpose. God's word, they'll call it the law. He said, the sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is what? Is the law. Anywhere God puts his law, they come there and they go contrary to it. That's why I say rebellion is like witchcraft. Right? The sin of rebellion, when he addresses it, when Samuel addresses it, he says rebellion. It's like idolatry and witchcraft. The God is much more not pleasing offering as his pleasing obedience. Praise the Lord. He says rebellion because that is what we call sin. He says sin is going contrary to the word. So that look at them, the golden cliche is the one that Jesus himself said. Look at it. John 15, verse 22. He said, if I want to show the sin of the ancient world, and then you can now see the sin of this generation. The sin of the ancient world, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. The words that Jesus was speaking. He said, the words that he was speaking. He said, you have the word of eternal life. the word of life, he was released, the word of life that Jesus was speaking. He said, if I had not spoken to them, if they had not spoken, they don't have sin. Even now they have no covering from their sin. In rejecting that word, that's why Satan mobilized those Pharisees, mobilized more, they rejected everything Jesus was saying. That is the proper definition of sin, rejecting the word of God. And that's what's happening now. Look at, they are making mimic and ridicule of the church. Don't join them to do that. The church is a habitation of glory. Emmanuel is inside his temple. No matter the denomination you call it, Emmanuel is there. They may not be doing certain things right, but it's not after them doing certain things right. It's after their heart. He said, if I can find 10 righteous men in the city, if I can find 40 righteous men there, if I can find, God is after men. God is not after systems, not after structure. So that's why they are making a mockery of the church. But God is in his temple. The Holy One of Israel is there. Praise the Lord. So making them, that's the sin of the ancient world. I say Jesus took God, the maker of heaven, and I stood and was speaking to men. How dare we now in our mind, I don't know how dare, anyway, I have explained it, the principle is the dark one. How dare we now go contrary to what he said? Then look at Moses. When Moses came and speaking to them again, look at what happened. That is the sin of the ancient world. He said, Saul, you have rejected the word of the Lord. And so I have rejected you from being a king. How many of us have heard the gospel? The Bible calls it the glorious gospel. The beautiful gospel. How many of us have aligned our life to what we are hearing? You are hearing in part tonight. And the sin of this generation is rejecting the word of the Lord that is coming to this generation. And that is coming to this age. That is the sin of the ancient world. And that's our sin. That's our sin. That's our sin. Rejecting the word of the Lord. Some of you here have not given your life to God. You've had this message. Is it not this thing? Born again, a church, and all of those things. If you follow everything that have been telling us, this is more than church. God is bigger than church. Even your life is bigger than church. You not do church in heaven. You not do praise and worship in heaven. Praise the Lord. In the context of what we're doing here, we're going to be worshiping God forever. Thanks for praise and worship. Thanks for him. You know, heaven is a realm of life. That's why when the apostles saw John in the book, he saw the Father. He could describe Jesus because of his image from the earth. But when he saw the Father in the book of Revelation, he could not describe him. He just said, I saw one that lived forever and ever. He saw life. He saw life. I saw him on the throne, him that lived forever and forever. He just saw the race of life. God is life. God is life. That eternal life which has been with the Father and has been manifested unto us who have seen it. And that same life will communicate to you, 1 John 1. Praise the Lord. Now, I will end with this story. Don't worry, I'll tell this story and I'll end. And I'll call for prayers. I want to tell of a story of a young man in Iran. His name is Zana. Zana. So, if Iran is basically a Sunni Muslim, Shiite, they are Shiite Muslim. While Shiite, while Sunni. That's how the Islamic world is divided. Shiite and Sunni. You've had the case of Ezazaki. Ezazaki is Shiite. That Iran type of, they are the dominant tribe in Iran. Then what Sunni? Sunni is the one that Saudi is the dominant tribe in Saudi. They call them the Sunni Muslim. But Iran, they are according to Shiite Muslim. They are still Sunni there, but they are the minority. Even in Saudi, they are Shiite there, but they are the minority. So Saudi is a Sunni country. Iran is a Shiite country. So Nigeria Muslims are Sunni Muslims. So Zazaki is from the Shiite, and that's why the Muslim brethren or brothers arranged and dealt with him. Praise the Lord. That thing is rooted from Saudi. So now, this young man, so in Iran, we have a Sunni, we have Shiite, and we have another tribe called the Kurd. K-U-R-D. Media, if you can help me to type the name, Kurd. K-U-R-D. We call them Kurd. And they call them Kurdistan. Can you put the two spelling in there? Kurd. K-U-R-D. Then Kurdistan. So he's a Kurd. So, and they did, of course, you know this war between the Shiite and the Sunni. So one day he said he was passing on the street and they picked him up. They picked him up and they threw him inside prison. And he spent months in prison. So when they brought him out for trial. And he said in the trial in their country, they only ask you three questions. They ask you, what is your name? He told them Zana. What is your tribe? He said Kurdistan. And he said, your religion? He said, I'm a Sunni Muslim. They threw him back in prison. That's the judgment. I told they are Shiite Muslim. So he's a Kurdistan from that minority tribe. So they threw him back in prison and he was there for 6 months. After 6 months, they released him. So when they released him, he said they threw him back in prison and beat him all night. And the following day they released him. Half fainted, he was not going. So when he was going, they took him to where he went on a bus to take him to Kurdistan region. Just like maybe for this, and let me give an example, like Nigeria now have 3 dominant tribes, maybe one of the minority tribes. Maybe the Igala, the Tik people, or they send you back to your place. So while he was going, he met a young man in the bus. So, and the young man was eating, he said he was eating a sandwich, 3 sandwich. You know, he said by training they don't look at people when they are eating, but he said he had not eaten proper food for 6 months. So he had no choice. The thing was, he said he was just looking at the food. And the young man gave him 3. He had 3, he gave him 2 out of 3, the sandwich. So he was eating it. So he now asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "My name is Yakub." Yakub. He said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to Kurdistan. I'm going to see a friend there." And out of curiosity, he asked, "What is your friend's name?" He said, "My friend's name is Zana." My name's sick. So he now said, "What's your name?" He said, "Yakub." He said, "I've not had that name before." He said, "Yakub is a Hebrew name." And he now said, "Are you a Jew?" You know, all the Muslims were a Jew. "Are you a Jew?" He said, "No, I'm not a Jew, but I'm a Christian." As soon as he mentioned the name Christian, the guy said somehow he felt back a bit. He does not want to have any discussion with him again, because the Quran has said so many negative things about Christians, so many bad things about Christians. So, but you know, that is the only companion with him in the bus, and he had given. So they were start talking. He said, so Yakub now brought out a book and then put it in his bag, and nobody must see that book, because if you are caught with that book, it's death sentence in Iran. And that book is the Bible. So he brought out the book and he put it in his bag and quickly sealed the bag. So when they got to the place, they wanted to drop. So he came down first. And he came down, of course, naturally, people were coming. I was waiting for Yakub to come down. So he didn't come down on time. He now went into the bus. And when he went into the bus, behold, Yakub was not there. He was, but he now asked the driver, "Where is the person that was sitting next to me?" And the driver told him that you've been sitting alone all day long. That you were being alone. So even the visible talking that were talking, nobody had it. He said you were sitting alone. So he was taken aback. What could have happened? Of course, the Muslim world, they know about angels and all of those. He said, God has sent an angel. So he went home. When he went home, he met his mother. They were crying and everything. So he now asked of his elder brother. So he went into the room, cry. We came out, asked of his elder brother, Hassan. Where is Hassan? He told him that Hassan has been hanged. You know, there's a lot of killing that goes on in this world. We just here and we're cut off from reality. You think life is all about what happens in your life. A lot of killings. So he said, "Where is Yakub?" You know, they call this small tribe. No, our own is better. At least we are it's still better anyway, but not so much better. Because Nigeria is ranked as the 3rd most terrorized country in the world by Global Terrorism Index. Yes. Done by the International Institute for Economic and Peace. The 3rd most terrorized country in the world. Nigeria, your country. You know, you live in the southern part. Some of us here living is not, or some of us here, a good number of us from the southern part, everything is well and hell and hate. Global terrorism country, they put their statistics there. You can go and Google it. Global terrorism index 2017. Nigeria is number 3. After Iraq, Afghanistan, Nigeria, Syria, then Pakistan. As much as you drive Syria and Pakistan, Nigeria is here ahead of them in terms of terror. Terror. So, yes, he said they've hanged his brother. And then he got to me, discovered that the soldiers came to the house while he was not there, and they raped his mother. So he met the mother and the sister. They've raped the mother, they've hanged the brother. So he was there, he was crying. So then in the night again, he said he was sleeping. Then Yakub now appeared to him in the dream. He said, "You should leave your country." He said he loved his country so much, even with all these things, he doesn't want to leave. But because he had that from Yakub, so he left and went and stayed in a friend. He was hiding in his friend's house. So he was there. So he used to come in the night. So one day he went to pack his thing from the house so that he can even decide to escape the country. When he got to the house again, he met his people crying again that the soldiers came back looking for you. And when they did not find you, they raped your sister. This is a true life story. Can you put the website www.answeringislam.org? You share how they converted. You see the story there, Zana, under Iran. Go to how they converted Iran. You see, answeringislam.org. The story is there on the website. So he said they raped his sister again. He cried. So he decided to flee the country. And when he was running, he is not yet a Christian. He took that book, that Jacob, and then he headed for the mountains. He ran, the border, he headed for the, he was heading to another Iraq. So Iran and Iraq, they are borders. So, but between them, they are about 150 kilometers. Do you have many kilometers? Mountainous range. So he was going to climb that mountain on foot, pass through the mountain and escape to Iran. And when he was going, he carried anything that he could lay his hand on. He carried the Bible. And in the middle of the night, when he was so tired, he opened his Bible to read. Then, as he just opened the Bible, then came out Matthew 11:28. Some of us say the Holy Ghost is not real. Please call up Matthew 11:28. He said, come unto you, me, all you that labor, then raise it, I will give you rest. He said, is this book reading my thoughts? He said, right there, and then he broke out in tears and he gave his life to Jesus. And then he continued his journey and to escape to Iraq. He left with no every other possession taken. Father gone, mother and sister destroyed, the brother hung, but he left with the only possession that he had, and that was Jesus in his soul. Friend, I want to tell you, your ultimate possession on earth is Jesus. Do you have the Son of God inside of you? Then you have attained all. Where Bill Gates is dreaming to attain to, you are already there. Where Dangote, may God give you understanding. This is what darkness has done to us. What Dangote is running after, you don't know that you're already standing there. The first day that you met Jesus. Jesus is not building a house for you in Dubai. He said, I go to prepare a home for you in heaven. A home that is eternal. I mean, you put your name there. My name is David. That Jesus came. He said, David, listen, David, I'm going to prepare, I'm going to build you a house. When I build that house, I will not even say you should come. I'm going to come. I will carry you. And I'm going to escort you to that place. That is royalty. That is honor. Can you rise up and feet? Can you begin to talk to Jesus? I want to pray with us, some of us. If you are not born again, if you have not received Jesus, I want you to come out. Let's make it fast. Time is gone. I want you to come out. If you want to give your life to Christ, please come out. Come out. I'll pray with you. I'll pray with you. If you want more of Him, if you want more of His encounter, more of Him in your life, you want healing, please, I want you to come out. I'll pray with you. I'll speak the word of life over you. Jesus is here. You sang it. Can you sing that song, Emmanuel? Can you take that song, Emmanuel? I have limited time. I'll pray with you. Pray with you. You are healing. You are believing God for healing in you, for you. You want your genotype change? You want your genotype change? You are here with HIV. You want it corrected? I want you to come step forward and pray. How can you be ashamed of it, Jesus? I put here everything that you have.
We wanna see you.
Oh, all of you are okay.
Your
lives are okay. Congratulations.
I'm gonna make it. I'm gonna make it. Yeah.
Can you lift up your two hands in Jesus' name? Father of life, you have loved us with everlasting love, and with loving kindness you draw us on a daily basis. Thank you. Thank you for all that you are. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for our lives. Thank you. Thank you for every one of us with our hands lifted up as a symbol of the lifting up of our hearts unto you. Meet us in Jesus' name. Meet every heart, meet every soul in Jesus' name. I release the power of God over everyone here in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be restored in Jesus' name. Not only you, everybody in your household. I bring the power of God over your life and your entire household in Jesus' name. I release a new day upon us in Jesus' name. I release the power of God upon us in Jesus' name. The name of God come upon you in a new light in Jesus' name. The Spirit of God come upon you in a new way in Jesus' name. Thank you, our Father. No one under this atmosphere will die young in Jesus' name. With a long life, the Lord will satisfy you and show you His salvation in Jesus' name. Jesus has come that you will have life. Receive that life in Jesus' name. I pray the shame of darkness over everyone in Jesus' name. Darkness be gone in Jesus' name. The Lord has spoken, let there be light. And so there shall be light in Jesus' name. In every area of our life in Jesus' name. I pray for NCCF. I pray for a new season over NCCF in Jesus' name. Oh Father, let there be a deep hunger, a deep yearning for you in Jesus' name. Take ownership of their heart. Possess them in Jesus' name. Thank you, our Father. I pray for the brethren that come with me. Father, they will receive a first fruit of this blessing in Jesus' name. Thank you, our Father. Give you praise and glory. May the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you put your hands together and celebrate your Father? Celebrate your Lord. Once again, I say thank you. Thank you to NCCF. Honestly, thank you, our state coordinator. Mama, I say thank you. And for my general overseer, I say thank you. Thank you for being there. Thank you for being a blessing to me and my household. Thank you.